Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's receive our evening offering. And that's good, yes. I'm just very pleased in my spirit what the Lord talking to me about today about this. Well, started last night and then went ahead today. Let me get down there. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 4, if you would please. Father, we thank you. We place ourselves in your hands, Holy Spirit. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for sending the Spirit of God to us. And we give you praise and honor, Lord. For greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Our teacher, our helper, our comforter, our guide, our intercessor, our standby, advocate, praise God. Oh, we thank you and we praise you, Father. Open the eyes of our understanding, Lord, concerning this that you talked to me about earlier today. We open our hearts. We open our eyes. We open our ears to receive revelation from heaven. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's begin reading with the 14th verse, please. The sower sows the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Well, when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Now, why did Jesus say persecution comes? That is, say that persecution comes to teach you something? No. No, did persecution come, you know, God allowed some persecution to come on you, make you stronger? No, for the word's sake. For the word's sake. Look at it again. Have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust or pressures from other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit. Now, I want you to notice in the 19th and 20th verses, it is the word that brings the fruit. You get that?
Yes.
It's the word that brings the fruit. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? Well, of course not. There is nothing hidden which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. The devil can't hide anything from you. If you'll pay attention to the word, he can't hide it. Oh, he'd like to, but he can't. Amen. Oh, Lord, that's shouting ground. If any man, now, when the scripture talks about man, it's not talking about gender. It's talking about mankind. See, God created man. Male and female created he them. Amen. So when it says man, well, of course it means woman too, right? I mean, there's male tigers and female tigers, but they're both tigers, brother. Come on. Amen. And you know, people get all shook up over nothing. But that kind of stuff will steal the word out of you. Get all, well, I don't have, anyway, you're smarter than that anyway. If any man, any person, any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, you take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, or the M-E-T is another word for measure. What measure you measure, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, more shall be given. Now, I want you to see something. It is so simple, you have to have help to misunderstand it. And we've had some pretty high-priced help over the years, you know, to mess this thing up. The abundance, or the measure of abundance, 30, 60, 100, is not up to God, it's up to you. What? You heard exactly what I said. Amen. See, it's the way you hear it, it will be measured to you. It's the way you measure it. Well, somebody said, well, my goodness, 100-fold. Yeah, on what? Teacups? Huh? Buckets? Or dump trucks? I'll take the dump trucks, thank you very much. But if you're going to take dump trucks, you're going to have to start sowing toward dump trucks. I like what Keith Moore calls it. He said, whopper chunk seeds, glory to God, bring whopper chunk return and harvest. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, wait, hey, we're just getting started here. But it's any man that has ears to hear, let him hear. But you take heed how you hear, because it's the way you measure it that it's going to be measured back to you. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now, wait a minute. No. Wait, just stop. Hold it. What's it talking about? The sower sowing the word and having ears to hear. That's what this whole chapter is about. So, he that hath, what? Ears to hear. He that hath ears to hear, to him shall be given. He that hath not ears to hear, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. It just got through saying, if you don't have ears to hear, the devil will take it. Amen. So just slam your heels in the ground. Don't let him have it. Glory to God. Amen. Well, hey, we're getting close. Just stay with me now. Now then, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, and he knows not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, now what brings fruit? The word. When the fruit is brought forth, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest is come. Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Hallelujah. Now then, let's go over to the book of Genesis, chapter 26. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Now that's what Well, let's go ahead and read. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land. I will be with you. I will bless you. For unto thee and unto thy seed I'll give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham thy father. Now look at verse 12. Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. One translation said, he went forward and grew until he became very wealthy indeed. Now, Abraham, his father, under the same circumstances, went to Egypt. And God was in that. Amen. And he did well. Well, Isaac just, you know, he's going to do what his daddy did for him. I mean, here came the famine, but you know, he's thinking the same thing. But God said, don't go down there. I don't want you to go down there. I want you to stay where you are. Now, what if he had decided to go anyway? Mm-hmm. What would have caused him to do that? Not having ears to hear? Mm-hmm. Not inclining his ear to God? And just thinking, well, now, you know, it worked all right for my dad and all that. And man, I mean, you know, I mean, these people don't think much of me around here anyway. No, I think I'll just go on down there. It would have destroyed him. Amen?
Amen.
Now, by having ears to hear, I mean, he ran into what looked like some pretty tough situations here. He kept drilling wells and they kept taking them away from him. Now, wonder why God didn't put up a fuss about that and stop that. Would you like to know?
Yes.
For additional CDs, because no, I'll tell you. I'll tell you what's going on. That's what was supposed to happen. That's why God called him to stay there. It was the blessing on him that was causing the water to come. It was the blessing on him until it got to the point it looked like. If you do some study about this, you can do some studies in Jewish commentaries and so forth about this, particularly the Chumash and others. But anyway, with water, the fruit trees bloomed again. And see, the people, including the king, thought the famine was over. But that's really why God had him stay there, so the blessing could break this thing and get the water flowing again and get the people going again and so forth. During that time, because he's listening to God, he has ears to hear. God would tell him, go over there, and he'd go over there and hit water, and then he'd tell him, go over there, and they'd come get it, you know. And then he'd say, no, go over here. And then he told him, go over there on across the valley, and he hit an underground river over there. He hit an aquifer. Glory to God. Well, it took that away from him. But hey, it hadn't hurt him all that bad. He got so wealthy, he was bigger than the king. Excuse me, daughter. Heal her feet. That's one of the dangers of sitting on this front row. You get stepped on and spit on. Hallelujah. Amen. I was sitting one time in a meeting, sitting right down here on the end, and you know, Brother Hagin, just walking up and down, and he walked along there like that, and he just slapped the fire out of me. He just got all excited, and wham, he just took me a good one. Amen. It popped. But the anointing was so strong, I didn't even know it. People said, did that hurt? I said, no. When Brother Hagin slapped you, did he slap me? Well, I knew he did, but man, it was a wonderful, the power of God was so marvelous. I'll step on these down here. But see, that's why he was there. That's why the Lord had him stay, to put him in the famine, not run from the famine. Because see, he didn't have to change his lifestyle. He lived by faith. I don't care where he been, the blessing would always provide water for him, always provide crops for him. I don't care where he was, he reap 100-fold anywhere he went, anytime, long as he would listen and obey. It wasn't all that difficult. The key issue here is being available to hear. Jesus just went over that, over that, and over that. Listen. He that hath ears to hear, hear. And he that'll listen, more will be given. If you listen, more will be given. More will be given. More will be given. If you don't listen, the devil's going to steal everything you got. Now, that's simple enough. Yes. Yes. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. And in this, as your vision grows, you go from 30 to 60 to 100. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Now, let's... When the king came to him and said, we want you to get out of here. The commentaries in the Chumash, which is the commentaries on the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And they said that when he left, all of a sudden, all those wells dried up. The fruit trees died. And they saw they were in trouble. Because, here's the thing. The famine wasn't over. The blessing of Abraham on Isaac had superseded it. Overwhelmed it. But see, it would have done that anywhere Isaac was, as long as he was where he was supposed to be. Yeah. Amen. He walked in that all the time. I remember back years ago, driving down a highway in Israel, and this was back a number of years ago. this highway, on one side of the highway was just absolutely gorgeous. Man, crops, just beautiful. Now, when I was a little boy, and with my dad or with my granddad, and we'd drive out through West Texas and all that farmland out there, and both my dad and my mother and my grandfather, whomever was in the car, they're always looking at all the crops. Oh, look at that alfalfa. Doesn't that look good? Oh, man, look at that. Look at that cotton. My goodness. Look at there. The wheat's about ready to cut. And you always want to, you scrutinize the guys plowing. Or his rows straight. Listen, my grandpa's rows were so straight, man. I mean, if you working for him, boy, it better be straight. where would you like to work next? If it isn't. And I'm driving along then, that's the first thing I thought of. Man, beautiful, gorgeous crops. My goodness, it was beautiful. Right on the other side of the road. It is barren. Totally, completely barren. It was so alkaline, nothing would grow in it. You couldn't even get potatoes to grow in it. They'd grow, but they're poisonous. You couldn't even eat them. And the man I was driving along there with, he said, Brother Copeland, here's the thing of it. He said, that land over there looked just like this over here. He said, this still belongs to Arabs. That now belongs to Jews. What's the difference? The blessing. Now you go plow this over here as much as you want to. Just plow it and plow it and anything you want to do with it. But it wouldn't grow anything. It's cursed. This over here, just gorgeous. Hallelujah. Now, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. That blessing's not just on us. That blessing is in us. When we got born again, I mean, that the blessing of the Lord is right on the inside of you. So now you come back to the basic fundamentals that govern the laws of abundance. Now, the laws of prosperity or abundance. When you say prosperity, everybody thinks about money. Money is on the bottom shelf of prosperity. Now, you can't prosper without it, but that is not prosperity. True prosperity. What does prosperity mean in the first place? Actually, it means to excel to the highest place desired. So it's not excelling that's bad. What's good or bad is the desire. Why do you want to excel? Why do you want to go? I mean, so you get enough money to do all the dope you want to do? That's not prosperity. I mean, that'll kill you, brother. Amen. True prosperity is prosperity spirit, soul, body, and finance, and socially. Amen. That's true prosperity. And the definition of true Word of God prosperity is the ability to, by faith, receive every need met, whether it is spirit, soul, body, financially, or socially. That's true prosperity. Amen. And that's what we're talking about here. So let's look at it One more time. Oh, I tell you, I love this. Isaac sowed in that land, received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. He had possession of flocks, possession of herds, great store of servants. Philistines envied him. All the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them up and filled them with dirt. Ah, that's the answer to the question. How dumb can you get? To live in a desert, arid land that you can't live in without water and go plug up wells because you don't like the guy that dug them. Dumb, dumb, dumb. I mean, come on, brother. That's the kind of decisions that hate and unforgiveness make. I mean, that's stupid going somewhere to happen, brother. Amen. But when you listen to God, when you incline your ear to His sayings, and you put His word first place, amen, and you say, Lord, I'm yours to command, sir. And whatever you say, whenever you say, wherever you say, hey, I'm your man. Well, the devil starts trying to, you know, cut up and mess things up. You just go to that verse right there and say, no, you can't hide anything from me, Satan. No, nothing hidden that I can't find out in the Word of God, in the Spirit of God, in prayer. Amen. Particularly praying in the Spirit. Amen. No, you can't hide anything from me, Satan, because Jesus will reveal it to me. And Lord, if I've missed it, oh, thank you, sir, for revealing it to me. I repent. If I have aught against any, I repent. It's not my will to carry anything against anybody, anywhere, anytime. Amen. Well, Brother Copeland, I just can't forgive. You can't forgive? Really? Well, yeah, you see, I've been trying to forgive her, but I just can't. Your forgiver don't work, huh? This is what you're saying to me? I mean, is there anybody else you've ever forgiven? Well, yeah, but they didn't do me as bad as she did. What? No. You just told me your forgiver don't work, that you can't forgive, but yet you turn around and tell me you've been forgiving somebody, and I see that this... That old argument ain't gonna hold no water. You know why? Jesus didn't say, now I want y'all to do your best to forgive one another. Now, I don't, you know. No, he said, I command you. You know why? That, you know why it's a command? Because it doesn't work without it. Because you see, immediately they were offended and Satan stole it. That was the first one on the list, becoming offended. No, you just go past your feelings and you do it as an act of your will, and feelings will just have to get in line. Amen. Amen. I love you and I forgive you. I don't have to have some kind of feeling to love you. Love is not a feeling. Love is a person. His name is Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Compassion is not a feeling. Oh, now I'm telling you, all kind of feelings get stirred up when compassion's on the scene. But when you're moved by compassion, you're being moved by somebody, yes. Not just a feeling. Amen. And when you forgive as an act of obedient faith, it's a powerful thing. And your feelings all rise up there and you just shut up, flesh. By command of the commander in chief, I have forgiven. I follow orders. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord, and I follow orders. I obey orders, and I walk in the light of it, and I walk in the fruit of it. Praise God. But now, in order to do this, you have to put some time to it. everybody. If any man have ears to hear, that's anybody. Anybody, whosoever. Don't you love a whosoever word? Glory to God. Amen. Whosoever will have ears to hear, let him hear. You cannot keep from prospering if you have ears to hear and you do what he said and put some time in it. Amen. Brother Copeland, I just don't have the time. How much television did you watch last night? Don't tell me you ain't got time. Yeah. Well, Brother Copeland, I don't watch anything but the news. Oh, dear Lord. You hadn't figured out yet those people have lied to you? Well, what they think's the truth today turns out not to be true tomorrow because they don't know nothing until after it already happened. Amen. But you can go to John 16 and in the 13, 14, 15th verses, Jesus said, "In the Spirit of truth has come, he'll lead and guide you into all the truth. He'll not speak for himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he also speak." See, Jesus is responsible for your and my life. And he's speaking to us all the time. It's us that hadn't been hearing. But he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. That would be me, Lord. Amen. Because I know he's hearing and I know he's speaking and he's right in here. It's me that needs an ear bath. Amen.
Amen.
And that takes time. And then what else did he say? He'll glorify me, Jesus said. He'll show you things to come. Wouldn't it be good to know things to come?
Amen.
Absolutely. Well, how did Joshua know things to come? God said, you meditate in my word day and night, and you will observe or see how to do what is written therein, and you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good
success.
See, it was guaranteed as long as he'd do what God told him to do. Amen. Well, one translation said, and you will deal wisely in all the affairs of life. Now, folks, if we deal wisely in all the affairs of life, you can turn a dollar and a quarter into a fortune. Come on. Because God is leading and directing here and showing you where to be at what time and when and doing this and that and yonder.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Glory.
That's what makes the faith life so wonderful.
Amen.
Pray, listen, and obey.
Yes.
Now notice what happened. Notice what happened to Isaac. When things started making some turns, God would come appear to him and tell him what to do. And then he'd appear to him and encourage him. You know, I'm going to give you all this land. Now, come on, stay with me. I'm going to give you all this country. So he just stayed with him. Amen. And just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And he got to be the biggest thing in the country. And when they ran him off, the blessing was gone. Then they went and got him back. They said, would you consider making covenant with us? We'd like to have you full time. Oh, yeah. Amen. That same thing will happen to you, particularly in the places where they've been calling you crazy. You know, that nut that just prays all the time. But you're the nut they call when somebody's sick. That's all right. Oh, but you know, they're that faith bunch. Thank you. Yes, you noticed. That blesses me. Yes, I'm a faith bunch. Amen. But like Gloria says, yeah, I mean, you stay long enough, you finally get respectable. Amen. Because they find out they can't do without you. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of this?
Yes.
Well, give the Lord some praise and thanksgiving there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we receive this and we are determined to follow it. And we thank you that prospering in this life, spirit and soul and body and financially and socially, is not just something for the special few, but that is to all that will take you at your word. Yes, thank you, Lord. Say this, Father.
I have
ears to hear.
I have eyes
to see.
I incline my ear to your sayings.
I keep them in before my
eyes.
I keep them in the midst of my heart.
For they are life
and health
to all my
flesh.
Your words are spirit and they are
life.
I receive them.
I have ears to hear.
Say it again.
I have ears to hear.
Three more times.
I have ears to hear.
I have ears to hear.
I have ears to hear.
Thank you, Father.
All right, now just be quiet for a moment.
Lord, reveal to each person what their part of this offering tonight is.
And as they hear from you, they'll be obedient.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus.
We receive it.
And we thank you for it.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Thank you. Yeah, I'll do that.
The Lord just pointed this out to me.
What do you think is going on in the back of Isaac's mind?
Now, at first, he's thinking about leaving here because, boy, things are not looking good at all.
And then God said, no, you stay here.
What's going on in the back of his mind? What are we going to do here?
There's not anything. There's no water.
Everything is dried up. Everything is dying, including people.
What are we going to do in this place?
Now, if he just kept thinking like that, he wouldn't have heard anything that God was saying to him.
And you know what? You keep doing that, and you'll get to where you'll not hear what God's saying to you at all.
And then you go off and do the wrong thing.
But when he agreed and said, yes, sir, I'll stay right here. Whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do.
Well, then the Lord started talking to him and showing him where and what and how.
Amen.
And like I said, and then he would come back to him and give him other instructions. And see, God was in the thing with him all the time.
All he had to do to prosper is just listen.
And the key to all of this
is giving God time, giving him quality time.
Now, it may take you a little while, particularly if you've been spending all your time on yourself.
You know, your flesh just does what it's trained to do.
Then you start getting it up earlier in the morning, and it says, I don't want to do this.
You have to say, just shut up. We're doing this anyway.
But do you remember when, I know Gloria does, and I know George does, that when Jerry Savelle first got into these things, first got a hold of the Word of Faith, listening to my tapes and so forth, and this was before I knew him. Well, I'd met him, but I didn't know him all that well.
And so he promised God he's going to get up early in the morning, and he's going to study and pray early. And he got up the first morning and went in and into his little study, wherever it was, and lasted about 10 minutes and went back to sleep. Well, then he woke up, the next morning, and he started out again, and he did the same thing again. He went back to sleep, and so finally, oh, you got to know Seville. I'll tell you, what a guy. I mean, what a guy. So he goes in. and he gets on the edge of the bathtub with his Bible. If he falls, he's going to break his neck. Ain't no way he can go to sleep standing on the edge of this bathtub. And he said, now, flesh, you just stand there. And he's praying in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. And he's got his Bible with him. And there ain't no way he can go to sleep on here, man. He'll kill him if he does. And he just kept doing that and just ordered his flesh to do what it's supposed to do. Well, it doesn't take long. Your flesh will finally give in, particularly when your spirit comes to the ascendancy and the spiritual flow out of your inner man, and your flesh gets where it enjoys it. Yeah, it takes a while. You have to train it and tell it what to think and tell it how to feel. Amen. But those are the times. See, you're sacrificing your body for Jesus' body. Because all of these things you're doing, you're going to wind up ministering to the body of Christ. Well, through revelation, through finances, through all of these wonderful things. Before you turn around about three times, you're going to be out of debt. And there's things he's going to start telling you to go do. And you, all kinds of wonderful things begin to take place. It's marvelous. Amen. I said, it's marvelous. Amen. Praise God.